This is the State House Podcast, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Governor Dennis Dugard says he won't ask state legislators to consider Medicaid expansion this session. He says there's not enough time to fully consider the issue. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Jennifer Jones reports.
Governor Dennis Dugard says a bunch of details need to be hashed out before Medicaid expansion can happen in South Dakota, including agreements with the Indian Health Service and contracts for health care providers. Last week, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services issued a letter outlining significant policy changes. Governor Dugard says this opens the door, but now changes are needed in South Dakota to make it work.
Changing this contracting situation and this health information exchange won't give them any more money for the patients they're serving today who are Medicaid eligible, unless they will get paid for patients they're serving today for whom they're not getting payment. And that only works if there's expansion. So why would any of these providers go through all the work to create contracts? Why would the tribes even want to do it? Or why would IHS want to do it?
Governor Dugard says he won't expand Medicaid without approval from the legislature and the tribes. He says he hopes lawmakers can address Medicaid expansion in a special session.
If the savings can be identified and if implementation is practically realistic, because again, we have to identify where these expenditures are occurring and where we might get some of these contracts in place, and the willingness of those contracting parties to enter into contracts like that, as an example.
Dugard says officials are moving ahead with several implementation areas, including telehealth services, working toward developing satellite clinics, behavioral health, and hospital transition services. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jennifer Jones.
A sales tax hike for teacher pay and property tax relief faces its final hurdle this week in the State House. State senators had House Bill 1182 on Monday's agenda, but the bill was deferred until at least Tuesday. Education funding is among the biggest issues of this year's session. In other news, a bill that requires suicide prevention training for educators has passed another legislative panel with no votes against it. Senate Bill 129 mandates 1 hour of training on suicide awareness and prevention every 5 years. Supporters say teachers should know how to recognize behavior that indicates a student may be contemplating suicide, and they should have the skills to handle the situation. Jeff Canfield's son tried to kill himself in a West Central school bathroom on February 1st. Canfield says no undocumented bullying incidents against his son, and he was advised to put him back in a regular class the same week he attempted suicide, which Canfield says was the wrong move. He says he's learned school coaches and teachers don't want to see students hurt, so they need comprehensive training.
Well, all of this occurred within less than a month, and I have to be honest, I did pray all the way to the hospital asking God to just let me tell him one more time that I loved him. I got to do that, and I tell him every day. I tell him so often. I'm so grateful to still have him. I really am.
Members of the House Education Committee voted unanimously to pass Senate Bill 129. The House Education Committee also took up a bill that requires schools to accept summer school credits from other districts. The bill is on its way to the House floor. Senate Bill 69 allows students to take courses at any accredited South Dakota school and have those classes count on transcripts. Opponents counter the move doesn't allow educators to monitor the rigor of courses taught through other districts. They say they're concerned the bill allows a student to shop around for summer classes that are less rigorous than in their own schools. Proponents say all courses are accredited. Representative Tom Holmes supports the bill.
You've got some pretty good students who are simply looking to get ahead so that they can make progress themselves and maybe when the time comes be able to apply to an institution of higher learning that will accept some of these higher credits. They're doing it for their own self-fulfillment as well as their future. And I think if a school district is in a position where a student transfers and that district has to accept credits from another school district in the state, then why shouldn't it have to accept credits from a course taught in another school district? I see that as a matter of consistency.
Lawmakers on the House Education Committee support the measure by a vote of 12-2. Senate Bill 69 moves to the full State House of Representatives. Meanwhile, the House Affairs Committee is advancing a measure that adds strength to South Dakota's law against selling fetal body parts. Attorney General Marty Jackley says the practice is illegal in the state now, but there's no penalty under current law. Jackley recommends a Class 6 felony charge for those accused of selling fetal body parts.
The reason it's proposed as a Class 6 felony is it's based upon the partial birth abortion statute. I think it's serious conduct, and it's something that should be addressed. I would close with whether you're pro-life or pro-choice. I think everybody should agree that here in South Dakota, we should not have the knowing and for-profit sale of fetal body parts. And secondly, if we're going to make something illegal in South Dakota, we should make it clear what the consequences are if you violate that statute.
Jackley says fetal body parts may never be sold in the state, but they may be donated in the case of a miscarriage if the mother approves. No one spoke in opposition. Senate Bill 24 passed the House State Affairs Committee on a unanimous vote, with one member excused. And finally, a bill that changes the way county zoning is done for confined animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, has cleared a state Senate committee. Those backing House Bill 1140 say it keeps South Dakota agriculture competitive, but stops red tape and frivolous delays for local approval. Opponents say the measure takes away local control and helps corporate farms push large feedlots into areas where they're unwanted. Those backing House Bill 1140 say it's needed to help South Dakota boost value-added agriculture. State Representative Mark Mickelson is a prime sponsor of the bill. He says the current system is burdensome for anyone who wants to put in a feedlot or other project.
We have a process that takes years to resolve, can result in a $50,000 in expense, and to permit a facility is kind of 50-50 odds. And that process means anyone that wants to try to permit a project doesn't try, because who can take on permitting a project that takes that long, costs that much, with only 50-50 odds?
The bill changes some of the requirements and appeal process for a project to gain zoning approval. Proponents say because of the delays, some proposed feedlots aren't even given a hearing. But opponents say the bill goes too far. Dean Lochner is a multi-generation rancher from Hand County. He testifies that the bill robs the public of the protection provided under zoning regulations.
Without a public notice, we would not have known that a 65,000-head feedlot requested a conditional use permit by our ranch. The manure stack would have been 10 feet high by 20 feet wide, almost a mile long each month, right across the road. This would have destroyed our quality of life had it been approved.
Proponents refute the notion that this legislation takes away public notice. They point to a 10-day notice requirement for a public hearing. But opponents question the idea that allowing more large feedlots is a way to keep young people in the state. They cite livestock pollution in waterways like the Big Sioux River. Members of the Senate State Affairs Committee passed the measure by a vote of 6-3. It heads next to the full Senate.
This has been today's top legislative news from the state capitol in Pierre. Be sure to join us again tomorrow, and for the remainder of the 2016 legislative session, South Dakota Public Broadcasting has you covered. If you want to view more radio news or see additional programming from South Dakota Public Broadcasting, visit us online at sdpb.org. Also, be sure to visit sdpb.org/podcasts for more podcast programs of SDPB. You can also connect with us on social media by liking South Dakota Public Broadcasting on Facebook and by following our news department on Twitter. The handle is at SDPB News. This has been today's episode of the State House Podcast, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting.